The Kings were part of a thrilling night of NBA play last night. Of course, you had that great comeback by Sacramento, dramatic comeback. The Warriors lost a thriller to the Bulls.
Yeah.
The Bulls have won three in a row on the road now.
Exactly. So, not necessarily a bad loss to them.
It's not as bad. But, they went and they beat Utah, right? And then they beat the Warriors last night. And then last night, you had the T-Wolves leading the Pacers by two in the final seconds when this happened.
Pacers have a chance. Up ahead, Nesmith. Blocked! Edwards getting up! And good night!
Anthony Edwards with maybe one of the greatest blocks in NBA history. Maybe the greatest block in NBA history. Because he went up. Yeah. Timberwolves Radio Network, courtesy of them, that call. But he goes up, hits his head on the rim.
Right.
Might have hit his head on the backboard.
It was reminiscent of LeBron James' chase down block in 2016.
Yeah, like, which was bigger because of the magnitude.
The magnitude. But the way Anthony Edwards shot up, and I believe he left that game earlier with an ankle. Tweaked an ankle. Then came back. I think he had 44 points. Like, save a game like that, and you're talking about a 6'8 guy, 6'7, 6'8 guy. I mean, the way he shot, it was shot out of a cannon.
Yeah.
Like, and those are the plays, when you look back at the season, you're like, that play right there got us the number one seed, or that play. And it was tremendous.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
My takeaway from that was, despite all the problems the NBA has, when you have a guy like Anthony Edwards given that much effort to make that play, to win a game, you know, regular season game, the NBA is in pretty good shape if you got guys that are that good and that competitive. It's like, oh, my goodness. There's a lot of guys that wouldn't even have tried to make that
wouldn't
play.
Maybe he'll make it, maybe he won't. But he took – and Anthony Edwards is that kind of guy, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's his thing. You know, he wants to play in every game. He's not all buddy-buddy. It's not about that. He's trying to win. And to see him lay it on the line, and when people say, oh, NBA players don't care, well, that dude cares.
Yes.
He definitely – I mean, and this is a March game against Indiana. It's not like game seven of the finals, you know, like a LeBron situation or anything.
What
this
about Tayshaun Prince against Reggie Miller?
Yes, that was a great one also. Yeah. But that was a playoff game,
yes,
too.
It was. Yeah.
That was a playoff game as well. And
might have been the East Finals.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And so, no, man, for a regular season game to come down to that, and they're showing it on ESPN right now on SportsCenter. I mean, and look at the reaction of the team. And it's just, it was tremendous, man. And he's still a young cat, too.
Yes.
Like, he's very young. You know, what's this, his fourth year, I think, in the league, third, fourth year? I mean, this guy is we talk about the face of the NBA going forward. He's one of the faces, I think, going
forward. He plays to me as if he has that notion that, this is all going to be my league someday. It's not right now, but it's inevitable.
Yes.
I'm coming.
And he embraces that. He wants that, right?
Yeah.
Yes, he wants that. Yes.
Uh-huh.
And so, no, I thought that was amazing last night. And they won without Karl Anthony Towns, too. So every game is going to be important for them as they try to get this number one seed. And you're right. I used to always think, man, the league is going to miss LeBron, Steph Curry. They will, yes. But we got so many great young stars, Tatum, Booker, Luka, Ant-Man. There's so many great
Ellis.
Keon Ellis, my guy. Keon Ellis. There's so many great stars coming up in this league right now.
Mm-hmm. By the way, LeBron is out tonight. I just saw an ESPN with that ankle.
Oh, I thought he just rolled out of the game just because his team was losing. No, that was the narrative around here.
Yeah.
Maybe the guy was really hurt.
And the Spurs go to play the Warriors, and the Warriors have no Steph.
Steph.
For we'll see how long. He turned his ankle last night.
I thought yesterday was a great day for Sacramento. The fact that, A, you won, but, B, the Warriors lost. And I know the Mavericks won, you know, but in Phoenix. But you're right there, Sacramento. As bad as the loss was against Chicago, as bad as last night almost was, you're only one game behind the Pelicans for the five spot. I believe you're a half a game behind Phoenix for the six spot. And so as up and down as this season has been, and I said it on the postgame show on Monday, all your goals are still attainable. And so now with 20 games left to go, you would hope this team is locked in and ready for that playoff push.
Mm-hmm. You know what I've been saying all year, and I think we disagreed on this as far as expectations, my feeling was get into the playoffs. You've had a good year, and you're on track to do that with that sixth seed now. It's there for the taking.
It is there for the taking, and, you know, given I didn't think the West would be this strong. I think that's what surprised me the most about this season. We knew OKC would be better. Minnesota would be probably better. But Dallas has taken a step forward.
Pelicans are
Pelicans seem to be legit. You know, that's a team you've been talking about. And to be in the top six, if you make it into the top six, that is something to be applauded, I think, this season for Sacramento.
You're right. Mike Brown was not especially proud of the win last night. He said, we take the win, but we can't accept the way we played tonight. At the end of the day, the way we defended, the way we turned the ball over and responded to those turnovers, that can't fly. We have to continue to learn and grow so we don't keep putting ourselves in a position like we were in tonight. I thought maybe we might hear kind of a, well, it wasn't pretty, but we got it done, but that's not what we heard from
the coach. He was angry, right? Like, he was, and he's trying to set the tone for the playoffs right now.
Yeah.
Like, he's talked about it needs to be a playoff-type atmosphere, a playoff-type intensity. And when you look at last night, allowing San Antonio to shoot 47% from three, allowing San Antonio to really dominate the second half for the most part, like, you got to be better. And we talk, you know, I hear people saying, well, I thought they played halfway decent. No, when you go back and trust me, when you go back and look at the tape, there will be 10 to 15 mistakes where it's like the closeouts could have been better. The effort on a turnover could have been better.
That's what he,
you know,
pointed
exactly.
To.
You turn the ball over and you don't bust your butt getting back. Those kind of things is hard to pick up in real time as you're watching it. But when you go back and look at the film, I was shocked. There was a film session a couple weeks ago, Whitey. I was shocked because the night before I thought, all right, we lost, but we played halfway decent. You go back and look at the film, Mike had like 10 to 15 clips of guys not hustling back, falling asleep defensively, not boxing out. Like, there are little things that happen during the game that might not show up in necessarily the box score that this team can improve on. And last night, I think that's what he was referring to.
I will say that's all true, but I do think it's a really positive sign when you're able to come from five down with less than a minute, and I know you don't win if the Spurs don't, you know, cough it up, but still that you're in position to do that. The three by Malik,
yes,
you know, you get the turnover, and then Malik does a great job of recognizing the situation. No one's guarding me, and he just calmly takes and buries that three, and there's no margin for error there. You have to be, you know, when you're down five with 57 left, whatever, you got to be perfect, and they pretty much were.
They pretty much were, and, you know, Malik joked afterwards, you know, one of the coaches said, well, you had a layup there, you know, but Malik, that supreme confidence that he had. And I'm with you. It shows me that. And if you look at last season, that was the thing that was so impressive about last season. I felt like this team had a never say die attitude. Like, no matter what the situation in the game was, they always found a way to win at the end. Case in point last night, case in point, February 22nd. Against the Spurs when you go on an 11-2 run to finish out the game. Like, that shows me you didn't give up. You didn't just lay down. And I think that's something that could be carried over.
So, with your help, maybe we can figure out why are the Kings prone to these lapses, these letdowns, and what, if anything, can be done about it when the Drive guys come right back. Sacktown Sport. I'm not buying it. Appreciate your participation. But I'm not buying this from your guy, Compio.
What he said.
Back in the day, my Little League team was booed. When you realize the fans are the parents of the players, it can be hard or it can be a motivator. I'm like, come on.
Copy.
Come on.
What did he say? His Little League team?
Yeah. We're booed by our parents.
Our parents. I'm not buying that. See, that shows you every story he's ever told has been a lie. Right there. He outed himself right there with that comment.
And we need to know what Little League he played in. Yeah. We got to see how real it is.
That's right. Yeah. Okay.
He's like 7 years old getting
Jason's
booed.
Hold on. That could be.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
You got to check where he's coming from.
I was at some sort of radio station charity bowling thing one time, and my daughter was really, really little. She was like, I don't know, 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm up there and I'm bowling and I left a spare or something and I hear boo. And I turn around and my daughter.
Booing at you?
Yeah. Where, what are you doing?
Where'd she get that from?
She said, from my brother.
Oh,
she said, Uncle Mark told me to boo you.
Real hate, man. That's like an art form.
That's amazing. See?
No.
If your kids can't boo you, who can boo you, Whitey? You know? Like, kids can do no wrong, man. My kids can boo me all they want, man.
Why is it that the Kings have these lapses, Drapes? And I'm not trying to go down that negative road of, this is unacceptable.
Right. Yeah, don't be negative, Nancy. Over
what,
there.
There must be a reason why they're especially prone to what almost brought them down last night.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at. Like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.
Big thing, I think, is the defense, right? You have to start. That's not all of it.
Right.
That makes you vulnerable, and there's a lot of variant things that can happen when you have trouble getting stops.
I think when you look at this Kings team, and we've talked about it 1,000 times, they need some dog in them. They need somebody that says, who's the run stopper? Who's the guy that says, you know what? Malachi Branham hit 4 threes in a row. Mm-hmm. I'm going to, you know what? I got him, coach. I'm going to lock him
Malachi
down.
Malachi, his Branham.
Exactly. Say that again.
What? I'm going to Malachi his Brandon.
Oh, my gosh. What do we do? Yeah. So who's that guy that can do that? And I just think at times we get sort of shell-shocked, you know? It's like, oh, my God, this is happening. And then it looks like we become sloppy, the turnovers, you know? And I think a lot of times what happens is our team panics and they try to hit home runs and try to instead of trying to hit singles. We saw it during the Phoenix game when Phoenix battled back from 18 down. How much one-on-one ball did we see from De'Aaron, Malik, things like that? Instead of trusting the team, trusting the process, I understand the intensity needs to pick up, yes, but you also need to stay within the system. Don't try and do hero ball, you know? And I think a lot of times when you look at basketball, and this is for parents out there, you know, kids, they think the best way to help their team win is to score buckets.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, all right, get a stop, get a deflection, get a rebound, make a decent pass. And so I think a lot of times what happens is guys think, all right, I got to make this shot. And they sort of, you know, pucker up a little bit, get tight, instead of just calming down, continue to play, continue to hit singles.
The Kings are far from a great team. I think we can all agree on that. They're a pretty good team. Mm-hmm. But great teams, when they are vulnerable, like their lead is shrinking, great teams have that gear. They gear down to, all right, we know what to do here, slow it down, whatever it is. There are things that great teams go to,
right?
Whether it's a set or a type. Typically, it's slowing the ball down, and there's things you can run offensively that are going to give you the best chance to stem the tide. Doesn't always work. The Kings, I don't think, know what that is. They don't have that gear.
That gear.
Like, okay, we're the lead is waning here. All right, well, here's what we do. No, it's like they don't have that gear.
How about this? They don't have that counterpunch. They don't have that, you know what? All right, they're throwing haymakers at me. Here's what we're, that default, like, oh,
yeah, right.
This, to your point, I think that's what you're saying. It's like, and it seems like they're throwing everything and hoping something sticks, you know, like they just, like, in a frenzied way.
Instead
like,
of knowing, this instead works, of knowing, because it's worked again and again and again.
Yes.
And I think some of it gets back to the point you've been making, which is we're going to get the ball to so-and-so. This is our time when, all right.
Right. Exactly. And I think also from an offensive standpoint, and we've seen Mike Brown and the Kings do this at times, but what's the offensive set that is guaranteed going to work?
Yeah.
You know, like the offense is bogged down. Because the way our offense is constructed, it's not, we don't run a whole lot of pick and roll, you know? We don't run in a lot of ISO.
You're right.
I don't think we even pick on guys. You know, we talked about people picking on. I don't think we pick on players, you know, or get the matchups we want. We sort of stay with our same offense. You
know? That's a great point. I agree. It's like, all right, typically teams will go, this is what we run here. When Jerry was on, he said, you know, I think sometimes down the stretch you like to have one or two things you can run that you can count on.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe they do, but I don't see – I don't. It's not evident if they do.
Let me ask you this. Because when you watch the Kings and you notice late in games, outside of De'Aaron Fox or Malik Monk ISOs, are you seeing a different offense? Or are they running the same stuff they ran in the first quarter and they're hoping it works?
It looks like pretty much the same,
right?
It?
That's what I think. Yeah. It's like it's they're sticking with their same instead of, all right, fourth quarter, we're going to change it up. Like, teams have had three quarters to figure you out, you know?
And I will say on occasion, I mean, sometimes, especially of late, you know, they kind of go to HB a little bit in those situations, a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe. Like, and last night he had a huge basket.
I don't know if Katie said this on air or behind the scenes. And if she said it behind the scenes, uh-oh, I apologize for outing her. But she said, I would like to see Domas at times run the offense from the low block, closer to the basket, instead of always at the nail, always at the foul line. And so that could be a little tweak that they can make offensively, especially late in games. It's like, I just feel like because the offense is what it is, a read and react kind of offense, you know, you give some freedom to the players out there to read the defense and cut off of that. You know, sometimes, like we just said, you need your tried and true play, or sometimes – you know what? I'm going to throw it down to Domas, play off of that. You know, I'd like to see that a little bit more. Domas on the low block and then play off of that. Cutters off of that. Maybe they send a double or something like that. I don't know. Here we are, you know, 62 games in, and we're talking about ways for this offense to diversify itself. I don't know, man. I don't know what to say. Yeah.
The other thing I'll say is, and I'll say this because we saw some of it last night. Coach Brown acknowledged that we saw it. And also after that team meeting, Davion talked about it. There have been times when things are not going their way and they haven't had the best body language. I mean, Davion said that. He said, when we can't put our heads down when, you know, things are not going our way, we have to play harder. So I think that's another bad habit this team has had. I'm sure they haven't been aware of it. Maybe they cleared that up. But, you know, you combine those things and you can see how they're vulnerable to giving up these leads. And also other teams – They're not scared of this team. When they get behind these Kings, they typically don't get too discouraged.
No, not at all, because they know that their opportunity is going to come. But I want to get to something you said just a second ago about, you know, body language and, you know, discouraged and all that, you know. And we talk about the fans booing and the fans got to give energy. Well, one thing Mike Brown talked about after the Lakers game was the bench giving energy, JaVale McGee and things like that. And so – I think, you know, that's part of it, too. Like,
I think maybe they're addressing that now.
Yeah. It feels like, you know, that's becoming more of a thing now. Bench engagement, even when you're not in the game on the floor. And I think, you know, in an ideal world, you shouldn't need the crowd to, you know, pump you up or anything like that. You know, you should. You rely on each other, your fellow teammates, you know, your coaching staff. And so I don't know, man. It's we got 20 games left to go, Whitey. 12-8 gets you to what you had last year. I think that's a very real possibility for this team. Mm-hmm. As roller coaster of a ride as it's been, they could have an equal or even better season than last year.
Yeah. And I don't even – that's true, but I don't care if they win. If they win 47 but they get in, that to me, that's not a big deal.
Is 44 bad, though? That means you go 8-12. That would not feel good.
It's going to be tough with 44 to stay out of the play-in.
Stay out of the play-in, right? Yeah. We should look at that. Look at the standings and come up with a magic number to actually, like, what's it going to take to actually get a top six spot?
Yeah. I just think the play-in would be, you know, as tough as games like last night were. Woo! Play-in situation is rough, man. You can go in, win the first game, you're fine, but good luck with that.
You know what's interesting about the play-in? I was talking to Jason Jones earlier today, and we were talking about how, and this is something we've talked about on our show, you know, you don't want to see LeBron in a one game.
Right.
You don't want to see Luka. You don't want to see Steph. But those teams are saying the same thing about the Kings. Mm-hmm. Like, the Lakers don't want to see the Kings. They don't want to see De'Aaron Fox in a one game. And so it's going to be a bloodbath.
AD doesn't want to see Domas in a one game.
Oh, man. I tell you what, if Domas owns them on Wednesday, Lakers come to town Wednesday, like, Anthony Davis has to hear all the chatter. Like, I thought the other day we were going to see the best of AD, and he turtled. He got, you know, put in a straitjacket. And so Wednesday is going to be his final stand. I don't want to hear about Anthony Davis Domas again if Davis doesn't perform on Wednesday.
What's our level of confidence here, Jay Drapes, with the Houston game?
They're winning that.
No, what?
They're winning that one.
Don't even try it, Jay.
Yeah, they're winning that one. That one I'm not worried about.
Really?
No, because they've been at home. It's the Rockets. They're coming in. I think the Kings, they know they owe the Rockets something for the back-to-back, you know, losses back down in H-Town earlier in the season. To me, the trap games are what we've talked about on this show, which is travel days, coming the back-to-back on playing a team that, you know, is competitive versus playing someone that's at the bottom of the standings. Like, when they're at home Sunday against the Rockets, it's a 3 p.m. start, if I'm not mistaken.
So.
Yeah, 3 p.m. Sunday. 3 p.m. Yeah.
Like, man, they're taking care. I expect a 10-point blowout.
Dang, Jay.
Yeah, I do.
Where's Jay and what have you done with him? Like, this is not – but I hear you. They've been home for a couple of games. You know, they've been resting in their bed, 2 days to prepare. You know, nobody's blowing smoke up their butts or anything like that, you know.
You said it earlier, Drapes. You were like, listen, come with the smoke because I got the weekend off, you know. Like, and today I happen to know, and you can confirm, the Kings are off today. They, after a back-to-back and travel, they're not doing anything today. So tomorrow, I don't know, they'll probably have something light or whatever. You got to be ready for Sunday to take care of business.
Yeah. Right. The Rockets road record, anybody know what it is? I just looked, 6-24.
Oh, really? Don't say that. Now you're setting up.
Now Jay's like, uh-oh, we're going to lose this one.
6-24. It's in the bag. Wow, even Jay says.
I think the Spurs had 6 wins, right?
They're right, 6 and now
29.
It
wasn't a back-to-back, fellas. Yeah. It wasn't after Los Angeles.
Yeah,
it wasn't
true.
After Drapes was fired up and going after AD. And then at the same time, we always know, when a team misses their number one, their star, Victor Wembanyama, the Kings tend to, I don't know, let their guard down.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, what's up with Keegan? We'll take a look at that.
You've been holding on to that all day.
No. What's up with Keegan? I think the math says it's not as bad as it looks. Well, look at that. We come right back here on this Friday with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. It's amazing the things when you do a radio show or TV show, the things that people that they hear and then that they get back to you, that they reflect back to you. Like Drapes, what, a security guard is talking to you about Kirkland golf ball? Somebody at the arena?
Yeah, I'm at the arena yesterday, and I'm like, Drapes, you still playing with those Kirkland golf balls? And I'm like, heck no. Hey, come on, man. I was like, are you? He's like, please, never that. And I'm like, man, this is, it's a thing, huh? It's a thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's a fun thing. Thanks for being a part of the show, the Drive Guys show on the text line here. I will say, without mentioning names, some of the people that called and talked about how they don't think we should be booing players, you know, bless them, that's your opinion. Mm-hmm. We appreciate your sharing. It's not an overly popular view. There's not a lot of people that share that view that, oh, yeah, you shouldn't boo your hometown players.
I feel like the YouTube chat, the text line might be different than what's on Twitter. And maybe it's my timeline or something like that, the people that are adding me or, you know, something like. Because I see a lot of pushback on the booing. You know, our girl Sherry called in and said.
Oh, you see pushback on it.
Yeah, because the fans are saying, don't boo.
Wow, like, okay.
Our girl Sherry saying, we're not New York. We're better than them, you know? And so.
Now, I heard a rumor that Sherry's takes may be forthcoming.
Nah, our boy Will might be like, Will going to call in. She got to get in line behind Will, you know? It'll be Will's takes and then Sherry's takes. So, oh, man.
Real quick, though, fellas, on the booing situation, and this is something I had thought about. We hadn't seen too much of booing, and Drapes, of course, you weren't here throughout all the years, but Whitey, correct me if I'm wrong, I can't really remember too many times of fans booing the Kings in the lean years.
Right. That's why, like I said, I was checking with Jerry. You know, in the early years, he said that he said they should have, but they didn't. And then I was thinking earlier, the first time I remember Kings.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at, like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.
Getting booed, and this isn't that long ago, but right before Mike Brown came in, like 22, I think. I remember I was looking at his story, Buddy Hield was talking about the boos. And then Buddy, of course, when he came back now, he gets booed. Kings fans have always booed certain people when they come back.
Spencer Hall, Jason Terry, guys like that.
Yeah.
But I guess, is it kind of like shock treatment, though? Is that kind of what we're going through, the fact of – and one of the callers talked about expectations being different. Do you guys think it's shock treatment to where you have some of these fans, like how Sherry's like, well, you know, we've never been that way. We've never done that. We don't do that here in Sacramento. Yeah, but we've also seen 16 years of nothing.
Right. You know, we haven't won either. Right,
and we can even go further in, you know, into the 90s and things like that. And so I guess my question to you guys is, and I think, Drapes, you've kind of answered this, if not now, then when, after you've seen the same repetitive motion? It's kind of like, and I use this analogy, if you know fire is there and you continue to keep putting your hand in the fire, at what point in time do we just, you know, take you away from the whole fire? Like, you're not capable enough of, you know, being around that. So if not now, then when?
You know, one of the things Sherry said, I think, was true. She said, you know, we in the past, we haven't booed, we just stay away. And I do think there are some periods there where the Kings were, you know, it's like, man, this ain't going anywhere. And you go out to the games, and there were not a lot of people out there.
Right, right. and that's those are the two ways fans, in my opinion, can voice their displeasure. With their money, not with their wallet, because I ain't going to bring up the wallet, but with their money or by booing. And, you know, I just think, to Jay's point, if you're not going to boo now, you didn't boo when they were bad. Like Jerry said, you should have been. Like,
yeah.
I think we need to hold the players, the coaches, the organization accountable. Now, if we're always going to support our guys, we're always going to want the best for them. But I think, in my opinion, booing whatever is a motivation tactic. To let them know, no, this isn't all right, guys. Like, you're better than that. You know, if my daughter comes home with a C minus or a D, I'm not going to boo her, but I'm going to look at her and be like, Quinn, you're better than that. You're not achieving what you're capable of. And losing to Detroit at home, losing to Charlotte at home, that's inexcusable. Losing that game last night, If you're not going boo when you're losing to the Spurs, when are you going to? Then according to Sherry and all these other people, booing, you should never boo. I don't believe that.
Where people were booing last night, and it may have been a couple different instances, but one of the callers mentioned it, the Kings were down six. They had been ahead. They're down six. Yeah. They get the ball back. It looks like, all right, they're going to right the ship. And then Domas had a bad turnover, and the Spurs score, and all of a sudden the Kings are down eight.
Right.
And that's when people booed. It's like, come on, you're going to lose again?
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah. It was like, no, you're better than that. I also think people are booing the whole program. You know, like, why aren't there more players here? Why didn't they add anybody? And another thing fans are booing is that we went through, what, 17 years of this?
Yeah.
And then we had one. You think 1 year is good enough? Then you're going to go back to that terrible basketball? Nope, we're not. We will not accept that.
We will not, exactly. And I think for so many years, and I haven't been around, you tell me though, but I've heard about the fan base being great and, you know, still supporting the team. Like, if you're going to, I think part of the job of a fan is to hold the team accountable. Think about this. I came from Boston, right? And they're hardcore. They were ready to fire Brad Stevens when they had just went to the East. I'm not saying do that. I'm saying fans have to let the organization know. If we're talking about building a winner, Whitey. Now, if you don't mind not winning,
right?
If you mind being mediocre, okay, then don't boo. But if you're expecting this Kings team to challenge for a championship or be on that path, if they're underachieving, what are you supposed to do? Just accept it? Okay, sorry, guys, we didn't get them. We'll get them next time. How about that?
The standards are higher. There was a time in this town early on when we prayed for mediocrity. It's like, that was, oh, it'd be great to be mediocre. Now the standards are
a lot higher. Yes.
TC joins us on Sacktown Sports. Is it time for Check It with TC?
Check it.
What's up, TC?
Check it, man. What's up with my guys?
What's up?
Whitey, Drake, what's going on?
Hey.
Check it out. Now, listen. Hey, look. I'm with it. I was just telling Jay before he put me on. I don't care about none of that, bro. I don't care. I love these dudes or none of that, bro. But when y'all suck in like that, of course us as fans, bro, we going to boo y'all. You get me? And if the booing caused y'all to play how y'all played at the end of that game last night to close out and close out that Lakers game, bro, I'm all for it. So I don't really care about Malik coming up talking about he don't care about booing, Domas saying we playing for the seat. That's all fine and dandy, bro. We love y'all. That's why we booing. If we didn't care, you wouldn't hear no boos. Wouldn't nobody be showing up to the game?
That's right.
The stadium be empty. Wouldn't nobody be at Golden One, bro? That thing would be hollow because then nobody care. Wouldn't nobody be there to boo, bro? So with them crying about the booing, miss me with all that, bro. We booing because we love y'all. We care, bro. We want y'all to be successful. And when y'all coming out not caring more than we care, of course we going to boo, bro. That's all I got, dog.
TC, rack 'em, call it a day right there.
Check,
man,
check it.
Hey, your boy came in breathing hot fire right there. He was fired up. Uh-huh. Love it. Love it.
Patrick on Sacktown Sports. Hello, Patrick.
Hey, how you doing, Whitey and Drapes? What's up, man?
What's up, bro? What you got, bro?
Hey, man, I was at the game last night with the family, man, and we had a great time. I had my year-old and my teenage daughter and everybody and the wifey. But I'm a booer myself, so it's like I don't like to hear that, but I understand why it's happening. I mean, we need to – the team is just not playing right when we're at home. And the 39 years that I've known the Sacramento Kings fan base is that we've always been a great home team. And for this team, it doesn't seem like they accept the fact that the fans give them that energy. And I just feel like it's kind of weird to see a team play the way they do when we have a good fan base the way we do.
Yeah, thank you, Patrick. I do think there are some fans that feel like, what more do you want from us? What more can we do?
Right.
We're doing our job. Do yours.
And there was a game, was it this year or last year, I can't forget, after the game, Mike Brown even talked about how great the fans are.
Yeah.
And the fans are doing their part. And so, like, from, you know, a fan standpoint, Whitey, if you're going to these games time and time and time again, you're seeing the same thing with this Kings team. Losses to Detroit. Losses to Charlotte. Like, blown leads. Like, eventually you get tired of it. It's not October and they're booing. This is a season long of average to below average at times play at home in front of your home fan base. You're supposed to be dominant at home, and you're not. You're middle of the pack at home right now.
Yeah, they won, so did the booing work? You say,
I don't know. I don't know.
I understand where Malik's coming from, though. You know, and fans have a right to boo, but you can see it bothered him.
Yeah,
you know, and he's one of the guys that I don't think you can question Malik's effort, right?
No, for sure.
Malik's like, what more do you want me to do?
I don't think the player should take it personal, though. It's the way the game is going. It's not I'm booing you, Malik Monk. I'm booing you, Domantas Sabonis. It's not that. It's, come on, guys. Like, to me, the booing is a sign of, come on, guys, we know you're better than that as a collective. It's not I'm booing Malik for missing the foul shot or whatever it may be. It's the collective they're booing.
What are the boo birds booing about? We'll get back to that also, as promised. What's up with Keegan right now? Next with the drive, guys. Shouldn't you have learned that by now? If it's a matter of learning something, easier said than done, I know. But Malik Monk after the game last night, too many times I think fans have heard that. Bottom line, though, is they won. So I'm not going to go wandering back down that path of frustration. Why can't they do this or that? They won the game. And you got to have a great deal of fortitude in addition to luck to come from five down with less than a minute to go to win a game. I don't care who you're playing.
I mean, they could have rolled over, played dead, gave up. No, but you're right. You got to have a little bit of intestinal fortitude, if you will, and a belief that, you know what, it's not over. And that's encouraging. That's one thing about this team. I never feel like they just quit. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, we've seen teams here that have done that.
Right. I never feel like they just quit. I feel like, you know, maybe they fall apart down the stretch or something like that. But it's never for a lack of effort, I don't think, on their part.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Thanks for being part of the Drive Guys on this wonderful Friday. Rick is with us on Sacktown Sports. Hey, Rick, what's up?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good. Happy Friday.
What's up, man?
Happy Friday to you. So here's the deal. So everybody forgets that the Kings came from within a whisker knocking out the defending world champions in the first round last year. They need to remember that. So when you take the court at Golden 1 Center, you better bring it every night, because the league doesn't forget what almost happened last year. And so I think sometimes they don't think about the mentality that they have to bring, because the league doesn't forget that.
All right, thank you, Rick. All right, I'll say this, though. You reminded me of something here that I saw today, and I apologize. I forget exactly where I saw it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Weren't fans booing last year during Game 7?
I don't know. Were they? I don't know.
I saw that, and
I don't remember that.
I don't remember that one.
I think there was a little bit of that. I have to double check on that. So I won't say anything further about that.
Okay.
Somebody referenced that today on social media, and I kind of thought, oh, yeah. But, all right, maybe I'm wrong.
I'll say this. I don't remember them booing the Kings. I remember booing, like, referee and
– uh-huh.
I don't remember that, though.
I don't remember that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But maybe it happened. I just don't remember.
Because they were getting blown out, too.
Game 7 was out of hand.
I'm not entirely clear on it either, so I'll put it aside for now. Maybe we'll revisit that if I find any evidence that it actually happened. But for now, back to John on Sacktown Sports. Hello, John. What's up?
Whitey, Drapes, good to hear from you guys again.
What's up,
I've been
man?
Watching every game this year. And, you know, just to be honest, some of the comments from earlier, people calling in, I don't relate to that. If we want to win, accepting that we can't boo the players is kind of a joke. I mean, the whole point of why we're here, fans showing up, and all the hype that we got around this team this year is because we expect, you know, a high standard. If we don't set a high standard, we're not going to win. So all those comments about we shouldn't boo them when they play bad, it's, to me, it's like a loser mentality. That we were losing the Lakers at their house in the first quarter when they put 40 plus up on us, and then we came back and won that game. They started booing their own team in the last 2 minutes. LeBron James walked off the court. I mean, and you can tell that LeBron wants to win. I mean, no one's going to question his attitude on that. I think listening to De'Aaron Fox's comments after the game tells me he wants to win. He's a winner. He didn't make no excuses, and he accepted that. We didn't play to a standard that's acceptable. So, you know, I just feel like the standard needs to be there, and the fans recognize how good we could be, and we just have way too many bad losses, especially at home this year. So, you know.
Gotcha.
That's how I see it.
Right.
Yeah, that's how I see this year.
Thank you, John. A lot of that is just the voiced frustration over this year. How can you let this keep happening?
Right.
Boo.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's the same. It's not about one game. It's about this theme that keeps presenting itself. And fans are frustrated, and I get it. I mean, shoot, like I said, if I was a player and I heard fans booing afterwards, I'd be like, we deserve to be booed.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't play well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how I would react, you know, because this is San Antonio. If Denver comes back and does this, okay. Boston, okay. But we're talking about San Antonio with no Victor Wembanyama. We making Blake Wesley and Malachi Branham look like Jordan and Pippen out there the way they were playing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and so it's frustration from the fan base. Now, do you want the fans to just sit on that frustration, hold it inside? You know, what are they supposed to do? This is the fans have only a small group of things they could do. They could cheer, they could boo, or they could not support you. Those are three different things. The booing doesn't mean they don't support you. It means they're unhappy with the way things are going right now.
So you're viewing booing as a form of constructive criticism.
Exactly. Exactly. It's not like they're throwing tomatoes at you while you're on stage or anything like that. But if you're a comedian and you're telling crappy jokes and you're not entertaining, we've seen fans at comic shows boo. You
right?
know, it's their way of voicing their displeasure. And there's only one way, Whitey, to cure that. Play better basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give the fans a reason to boo you.
Real quick here on the text line from the 707. Yeah. I want to know what happened to Keegan Murray last night. It looked like he was in a trance. They didn't put their name on it. Keegan Murray, to me, my view on that real quick, Drapes, the way this offense runs, and as we've said, it's a freelance offense essentially. There just aren't enough shots for everybody. Last night, the Kings got up 102 shots. And so Keegan only got four. So where are the shots that you'd like him to take? Barnes took 9. Domas had 19, which is a little bit high for him. Herter only took 5 shots. 32 for De'Aaron Fox. That's a lot, but he scored 33. I just think it's going to happen sometimes with either, you would rather it not happen to Keegan, but it's got to happen to somebody. You know, what happened to Barnes? And you look, well, he only took 5 shots. There's just only so many shots that a team can produce in a game. And the Kings are, I think they're 4th in the league in attempts. So they take a lot of shots.
Right.
But you can't just add on, well, Keegan needs to take 15. They got to come from somewhere.
Well, I think with this Kings team, and we have a habit of doing this, we look at the box score the following day, Whitey. Harrison Barnes, oh, he wasn't there. We don't give Harrison Barnes that kind of a grace. We don't give Kevin Herter that kind of grace. Well, there aren't enough shots to go around, HB, so we call him out. Like, to me, there are three guys that should get shots no matter what. Domas, De'Aaron, and Keegan Murray, in my opinion.
Keegan is 4th on the team in shots just behind Malik.
Should he be?
I don't know.
I'm looking at it. four shots last night, eight shots the game before, eight shots the game before. But then the previous four games, 15, 17, 14, 11, 10.
Mm-hmm.
My thing with Keegan Murray, he's not a role player on this team.
Right.
Role players got to get in where they can fit in. Stars get their shots. Top two or three guys get their shots night in and night out. I think, and let's do some comparison. I look at Boston. JB and Tatum get their shots. You know who else gets their shots? Kristaps Porzingis.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when you look at this Kings team right now, and let's have this conversation, is Keegan now the fourth option on this team? And are we okay with that?
I think
because that wasn't that wasn't what we thought coming into the season, right?
Yeah. The other thing to keep in mind with that, Keegan only took four shots. He scored 3 points. You scored 131 and you shot 51%. They didn't shoot the three ball very well. But it's not like, the offense sucked. Well, they need more from Keegan. No, to me, it's a matter of tweaking rather than a problem that has to be addressed because you scored 131 points.
Right, right. Yeah. And the offense wasn't the issue last season. But I'm looking at big picture, trying to get yourself to where you want to be. Like, I think we need more from Keegan Murray. You said he's fourth in the league on the team.
I believe, isn't he like just like 0.2 behind Malik?
Yeah. He's taking, let me do the math, 2.3 more shots per game than he did last year. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a big leap. That's not a big difference for the number four overall pick.
Right.
I think the Kings either, A, got to do a better job of getting him involved, or he needs to be more aggressive. He's too good of an offensive player, in my opinion, to just blend in.
Mm-hmm.
That's 12.1 shots. We were talking earlier, 15, 16, 17 at the beginning of the season we want to see from him. And I'm talking about Sacramento, the Kings, being at their height, their peak. They're, in my opinion, at their best when Keegan is aggressive, when he has, you know, I know they've lost the Miami games when he had 33 and 28, but when Keegan is flowing, that adds another dimension. I don't know, Whitey. He's averaging 14.7 points per game, averaged 12.2 a season ago. I don't think, in terms of the offense, he's made the leap that we expected this year.
Right, I agree, but I also look at games like last night, and I'm not sure there's always room for him to. You take, they averaged 91 shots a game. Last night, you had Fox taking 32 shots. I mean, he's roughly, some nights like that, he's taken roughly a third of the shots. There's only so many shots.
Right.
So that's why I say, to me, it's like, yeah, boy, that's not ideal, but it's not like it's a problem because you won and
you
the
won
offense
the game.
Is
right,
working.
And it wasn't the offense, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to nitpick on Keegan shooting on a night they scored 131.
Vincent Goodwill's going to join us, host of the Good Word with Goodwill podcast on Yahoo. We'll find out from somebody in the national media, how come Domas is not getting more respect when the drive guys continue here on Sactown Sports?
Our first year as the radio home of the San Francisco 49ers is one we will never forget.
And Logan Ryan picks him up. Looks like they're playing man. LaPorte is over there as well. It's five out. It's empty on fourth down. Goff back. Not going to get out to his right.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.